Lakers lose to the Rockets 112-97, the final score. It's a best of seven series. Lakers down 1-0. Disappointing loss for the Los Angeles Lakers. I mentioned, and I'll continue to mention this throughout the postgame show, the one positive is you got a chance to come back on Sunday and get back on track. And I think the Lakers got a ton to learn from this first game against the Houston Rockets. As always, love nothing more than hearing from Los Angeles Laker fans. Whether it's a win or a loss, we, of course, want to hear from you. Hopefully it's wins, just not one tonight. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Give us your thoughts on this Game 1 loss to the Houston Rockets. You can do so now. You know, I've kind of stuck with this for a while with the Los Angeles Lakers, and I probably do it too much. You sometimes feel with this Lakers team they're hot and cold. The energy is all in or it's not really there. And this game against the Rockets is a perfect example. When I say they got to play better on Sunday, I know that simplifies things way too much. But just energy and effort, I think that's the thing that sticks out to me most. This is a Lakers team. We know how talented they are. We know what LeBron James and Anthony Davis, their capabilities on a night-in, night-out basis. We know other guys have to step up, and it can't just be on their shoulders, but they're obviously going to carry most of the load. And I could go down the list. Danny Green's got to be better. KCP's got to be better. And Rajon Rondo has got his first opportunity inside the Orlando bubble. I could say all that, but it starts on the defensive side for the Lakers, and we know this. And for those who know how the Lakers have primarily won their NBA championships, you got to play defense. And you can't do it in spurts. And you can't allow one player to dictate whatever he wants to do on the offensive end. And I'm obviously talking about James Harden. And if James Harden's going to get off and he's going to give you 25 in the first half and he's going to get 36 points in this, you know, through 48 minutes, well, then you can't have two other guys above 20 points. Russell Westbrook was over 21. Eric Gordon was over 23. So I know we can sit here and we could harp on the defense or on the offensive side. I'd rather harp on the defensive side because this is a Los Angeles Lakers team that looked like they were a step behind the entire game. And every time, even when the game was close, it was a 5-point game or it was a 3-point game, that critical play that the Lakers needed just to kind of continue that momentum, to finally take the lead, to grow on the lead, wasn't there tonight for the Lakers. If it was a 3-point game, then the Lakers would come back on the other end, have some type of a turnover, and the Rockets would hit a 3. Or if it was a 2-point game, again, kind of a careless pass. I tweeted out just some of the passes from the Lakers, just too careless in a playoff game. Too careless for any type of game, but specifically a game like this where you're playing the Rockets, and the Rockets, you could tell as the game progressed, their confidence grew. And that's all it takes for a team to steal a game. The Rockets obviously did that tonight, 112-97, the final score. I'm going to get to the phone lines here in just 1 second. I want to read off what LeBron James and Anthony Davis, what they did tonight. AD, 25 points, 14 rebounds, 10 of 16 from the field. LeBron, 20 points, 7 assists, 8 rebounds. AD did have 3 steals and 3 blocks. LeBron did have 2 blocks. That's all great and dandy to see. 7 turnovers between those two players. And for how good LeBron James and Anthony Davis are, I didn't really feel their presence tonight the way we felt them, not just in other playoff games, but just throughout the regular season. Okay, let's start out with Roderick in San Diego calling in to the Lakers, the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Appreciate you calling in, bud. What'd you think?
I mean, I saw the game, and I just think LeBron James is very passive when his team needed him. You know what I mean? I mean, being a Lakers fan, I'm used to watching Kobe just when his team needed him, Kobe knew, like, hey, look, y'all off tonight, I'm going to take it. Mm-hmm. And LeBron James is constantly working hard to get to the rim just to pass it out to dudes who's off tonight. LeBron James needs to be the guy who goes to the rim and get those shots to keep the team in. And I just feel like they was off tonight. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever, I don't know what was wrong, but they was off tonight. And I feel like LeBron James needs to shoulder the team being off because he's talented than any other players on the floor. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he can get to the rim anytime he wants. He can get calls anytime he wants, but he was very passive. If dudes is not hitting the shots from the corners or the three-point line, he needs to be the, like, look, we need a shot right now. We down 8, 10, 12. we need a shot. I'm gonna go win. I'm gonna go take care of it. And he doesn't do it. Being a Laker fan, if he does that in Cleveland, we've been watching him every night in Cleveland. But being in LA, we watch Kobe. Like, look, it don't matter what's going on. I'm gonna take it on my own.
Appreciate you calling in, Roderick. I'm gonna get a couple of these calls. Let me just comment on that real quick. Yeah, I was too passive. Wasn't enough. He took 15 shots. AD took 16 shots. 31 shots between those two players. I could see the passive part, right, where LeBron's not saying, all right, KCP, if you're not hitting your shots, Danny Green, if it's not falling, Rondo, if you can't hit a jumper, AD, if you're not demanding the ball, give me the ball and let me take over. And so I get that analogy that you're trying to make, even though I will say we know LeBron's style of basketball. His style of basketball typically is probing, it's dissecting, it's trying to see, okay, where's the hole on the defensive side, trying to make the right play. But I understand what you're referring to when you talk about how just not aggressive enough. Jay in downtown, you're calling into the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Thank you for calling in, Jay. Go ahead, bud.
All right, man. Thank you very much. I mean, a couple of points. Number one, it's a weird stat that I saw LeBron has lost game one, I think 6 out of the last 7. That's super weird. So that's good for the Lakers because probably come back and win. But main thing is, look, they have to give Caruso more minutes. I know Rondo's first game back. You know, I know Lakers had no energy, but LeBron's not. If LeBron passes the ball to Rondo, and that's what the fourth quarter comes down to, Lakers will lose.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to. I know Rondo's not a great shooter. I mean, Caruso's not a great shooter, but he at least provides other energy. You talk about lack of energy. That's one thing Caruso will do is bring energy and might get a steal, might, you know, dive on the floor, might hit a three. You know, I know Kuzma's missing. You know, he's AWOL. You know, and we had to
he's got to be better. By the way, Jay, he's got to be better, and I appreciate you calling. Let me sneak in one more call before we get to head coach Frank Vogel. Jay, thank you for calling in. On the Rondo front, 3 of 9 from the field, had 8 points. I'm surprised Rondo played 25 minutes tonight. I am. Now, coach did say there wasn't a minutes restriction on him. And look, I get it. This is the postseason. You're supposed to rely on some of your veterans, but you can easily make a case that Caruso should have got more minutes than 16 minutes, and Rondo should be kind of slowly eased back into it. All right, let me get one more in here. Louie in L.A. Louie, thank you for calling into the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, Louie.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. You know, I wanted to just touch base and see and get your opinion on this. I noticed that they were going too much to AD, trying to do a one-on-one instead of focusing on the actual team ball movement. I know AD was taking it to, Harden, but, you know, at the end of the day, I wanted to see the ball move more, and I wanted to see LeBron take more control as a point guard and just try to be like James Harden is, where he's always just like, I got the ball, I'm going to do this. Like, you know, I'm a Kobe style, you know? And I don't see that in LeBron. I don't know if it's age or the 6 days that they were off. But, you know, I'm not seeing the drive, the passion. But when LeBron has that passion, that drive, and that monster mentality, I notice that the rest of the team catches on and everybody plays great. But I'm not seeing that in LeBron, and it's kind of disappointing.
Louis, I appreciate you calling in. Let me just kind of preface all this by saying this is a disappointing loss. 112-97, you lose game one against the Rockets. Here you are in round two. It's just game one. So, and I'm not trying to make an excuse. What I'm really trying to say more than anything else, go make your adjustments, come back on Sunday, and come out with a different energy and a different flow to the game. You talked about Anthony Davis and being down low. I almost feel like Houston, they're okay with that if AD's taking, you know, 20, 15-footers, 17-footers. Not that AD can't hit them, but I think that from a game plan perspective, it slows down the game for the Lakers at least. I almost feel like that's working into their plan. All right, Lakers lose 112-97. Let's hear from head coach Frank Vogel on the Lakers' 15-point loss to the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, we just we couldn't get a rhythm offensively. You know, I thought we did a better job in the second half defensively. It's been particularly not fouling James, taking the ball out of his hands a little bit more. But, you know, we couldn't get a rhythm offensively to start that fourth. And, you know, we'll look at the tape and see if we can be better in game two.
Franco, I know you're going to have to look at the film, but what's your first impression of the different rotations and the minutes whether you were big or small and how all that played out tonight.
Well, we got to be better in a lot of things that we do. You know, we could definitely have played better and more in rhythm tonight. And there's some things we can do differently as well. So, like you just alluded to, we'll look at the tape. You know, we'll see what approach we're going to have for game two, and we'll go from there.
Hey, Frank, it's Dave. Playing off Mike's question, specifically to Rajon Rondo, what do you feel like he gave you in his first performance since March, and what is the challenge of working in a new player into your rotation at this stage of the playoffs?
We said it right there. It is a challenge working in a new player into your rotation at this stage in the playoffs. But, you know, Rajon's one of the smartest players in the league. And, you know, obviously our guys' IQ raises when he's on the court. So, you know, he's definitely going to help us this series. You know, but it's always a little bit different when you work somebody in at this stage.
Hey, Frank, it's Bill. You guys talked yesterday about really needing to kind of assert your will in this matchup. And you obviously stuck with JaVale in the starting lineup. What would need to change in game two for you to feel like you guys were able to bend Houston more to your will? And then is the rebounding margin or lack of a margin in rebounding indicative of that issue tonight?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to tip my hand about game two. You know, like I said, we'll go to the tape. We'll look at a lot of different ways we can go. You know, but it starts with just being better with what we did. You know, we were too careless throwing the ball all over the court with our turnovers and taking quick shots. Got to be more patient. And, you know, if we do that, we'll get our defense set and be in business. But it's not necessarily about being big or being small always. It's what you're doing on the court.
Allie? Kyle,
again,
please.
Frank, it seemed like in the half court game, Houston was very effective in keeping you guys out of the paint, and a lot of their steals come off of entry passes. What do you guys think you can do better, in, specifically in that area, getting shots closer to the rim?
Yeah, we got to play through our counters more. You know, like I said, we forced it in there a little too much. You know, we've done this. We did that in game two when we played these guys. And, you know, we just got to be smarter about, you know, that type of look in terms of moving the ball, the second side, all those types of things.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet. It's a game of adjustments, and the Lakers will certainly get their chance to have some adjustments on Sunday. I mean, you can't have really any excuses at this point. You're down 1-0. The world's not going to end, but you certainly can't fall 2-0. To the Houston Rockets. I want to give a quick shout out to the Wallace Firm, official personal injury law firm of the post-game show all season long here on 710 ESPN. They are serious trial lawyers who get serious results. Let them help you get the W. No win, no fee. 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. When we come back, I mean, there's so much to get into in tonight's postgame show. But coming up next, we'll hear from LeBron James. Plus, we'll take more of your phone calls. The phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Let us know what you thought about this game. How did the Lakers fall by 15 in game one to the Houston Rockets? We'll take some of your phone calls coming up next. Plus, LeBron James. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint, locally owned, manufactured, and operated, and with over 1,300 Vista Paint colors, your perfect paint expression is at Vista Paint right now. And don't forget, visit VistaPaint.com for your discount color sampler. Lakers lose that battle 42-40. Rockets actually win Points in the Paint. They lose the game 112-97, down 1-0 in the series to the Houston Rockets. I do want to take a few more calls before we get to LeBron James. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN if you want to be a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Terry in L.A. Terry, thank you for calling in, bud.
Yeah, listen, Alan. I don't know. I shouldn't joke like this. If a symptom of COVID is having a brain fart, because I think that's what's happening with Vogel, because clearly he has no idea what he's doing. Listen, You can't bring a player back and play him 25 minutes after he hasn't played for 3 or 4 months. And here's another thing. The only win the Lakers had against Houston this year, AD didn't play, and they went one big the whole game. You can't play Dwight Howard. You can't play two bigs. It's not going to work with Houston. It's not. If you look at all the series since they've been doing this stuff, when they played against, like, Golden State and all them, everybody went with just one big. And another thing, everything always comes down, oh, LeBron is being passive. And you see him look over in the middle of the game and say there's no spacing. I mean, let's be realistic. As much as we praise him, LeBron is in year 17. He can't exert all his energy on defense and then expect him to score 40 points every night on offense. That's what he got AD for. That's what the Vogel and then will figure out how to use the rotation better. And play the better match. You put
Terry, why didn't the Lakers have your energy to start this game?
I have no idea.
That's what we needed, Terry. We needed that energy. I appreciate you calling in. And listen, I understand some of the points that you're making. I can sit back and say, okay, well, why did Coach play 25 minutes for Rajon Rondo? Okay, let's say he played him 18 minutes. Does that mean the Lakers are going to win this game? I don't have the answer to it. But what I'll tell you is this. When you come into these games, there's a certain mentality that you have to have. Lakers didn't have it for all 48 minutes. You can't pick and choose when you want to try and when you don't want to try, or when maybe try is not the right word, but they look lackadaisical. They look like they were just going through the motions, and we've seen that before from this Lakers team. Certainly we've seen it inside the Orlando bubble. That's my fear with this Lakers team, is you don't have your foot on the gas all the time, and eventually that could come back and haunt you. Maybe it didn't happen against the Portland Trailblazers. Maybe it's more dangerous against the Rockets. I'll tell you what, you get to the Western Conference Finals when you get there. You better get there. That's the expectation. And you play that Los Angeles Clippers team, can't really have a night off. You can't. That's how good the competition is as you continue to progress. Aaron in L.A. Aaron, thank you for calling in. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, bud.
What's happening, Slee? What I heard you talking about Frank Vogel saying that Rajon Rondo doesn't have a minutes restriction. Maybe he should have had a minutes restriction tonight. I'm watching the fourth quarter at home. I'm perplexed. What is Caruso doing on the bench? I get it. He has five fouls, but I gotta suppose that the offense is going to flow better with Caruso than Rondo, who's finding his sea legs under him.
Yeah, he's listen, Aaron. He's been out for so long. So I'm not going to justify anything. I am surprised, and I appreciate you calling in. I want to get to LeBron James here. Yeah, I'm surprised Rondo played that many minutes. But everybody who's tuning into this broadcast right now, whether you're on the app or you're on 710 ESPN, you also got to play some defense. James Harden did whatever he wanted to do in the first half, and in the second half, Russell Westbrook and Eric Gordon went off. So I think it's a combination of all that. AD and LeBron got to be better. These role players everybody has to be better. I got some callers here with some incredible energy. Where was that energy? All right, let's go to LeBron James, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet. We'll get his thoughts on this Lakers 15-point loss.
Hey, LeBron, I know you always talk about game one being a feel-out game. Was there anything that Houston did tonight that flummoxed you guys more than expected based on the week of watching film and knowing how they play with this unique small ball group that you saw on the court tonight?
I think it's the speed. They play with a lot of speed, obviously, starting with the head of the snake and Russ. But they play with a lot of speed, both offensively and defensively. And you can watch it on film, and you can see it on film. Until you get out there, you get a feel for it. And that's what we did tonight. We got a feel for their speed, and we should be fully aware of that going into game two.
Did it stand out to you more on what you guys, the struggles offensively or defensively? Could it both? What was the thing that stood out the most aside from
I don't think we had many struggles defensively. Obviously, we allowed James to get to the free throw line way too much in the first half. But more importantly, I mean, we had 17 turnovers for 27 points. That's all offense. And I thought defensively, you know, we had a couple breakdowns, but that happens throughout the course of a 48-minute game. But I thought we were in tune on that side. But offensively, we got to clean up the turnovers.
Hey, LeBron, it's Dave. It was a six-point game to start the fourth, and Houston went on a 12-3 run with a group that you guys haven't really used before. What's it like to play with a new group of players in a playoff situation when you've never done it before?
You know, who's ever on the floor, we got to do a better job of executing. And EG came in the fourth quarter and sparked them on offensive end, you know, getting to the line, getting into the paint, making shots. and we didn't get any to fall for us. So we got to do a better job of that.
Hey, LeBron, so much coming into this series is made of your guys' need to impose your will or dominate inside, however you want to phrase it. What do you think needs to happen on that front that didn't happen tonight? How big of a part of that was the result?
We had 17 turnovers, 27 points, and versus a team that's a 100-yard dash team. You cannot turn the ball over like that, and it's just that simple. It starts with myself being the primary ball handler, and it trickles down to everyone else. So, you know, we got to do got to be a complete turnaround going in the game too.
Allen,
Kyle, good.
Hey, LeBron. I know generally when the game's going on, you stay pretty locked in within the line, but Savannah being here and the other families being here, did you draw anything from that presence on the sideline today?
No, not really. You know, it's definitely a blessing to have my wife here. But my kids are back in L.A. still. My mom's back in Ohio. But I'm definitely happy that she's here. It was just, you know, but I keep the main thing when I'm on the floor. When I'm on the floor, it's all about how I can be better for my teammates. How can I, you know, make plays offensively and defensively. And then, you know, see my wife after the game. Say it again. How do you adjust to the team speed? You understand that it's not about just the legs moving, it's about the hand movement as well. They're great with their hands. You understand that if you have a turnover, you can't really relax. You have to get back quick twitch plays because they're very extremely fast, especially when Russ gets it. So you adjust to that by you know, playing against it. You know, and it's kind of like in the early 2000s when the St. Louis Rams, the greatest show on turf, people always say how do you scout them. But until they got on the field and they seen Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt and Marshall Faulk and Oz Akeem and all those guys, then it was like, okay, we need to play them again because there's no way you can simulate that speed. Getting out on the floor and having a game one give you a good feel for it.
All right, that's LeBron James there, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet. If you want to tweet into the show, at Alan Sliwa, I'll read off some tweets here on the Lakers' 15-point loss to the Houston Rockets. You know, it's interesting with LeBron talking about the speed of the Houston Rockets, and it's one thing to see it on paper. It's one thing to try and kind of game plan for it, but until you get into an actual game and you got one game under your belt, I'm not going to count that bubble game against the Rockets where Russell Westbrook didn't play, neither did LeBron James. I kind of understand what he's referring to. It's like, okay, we got one under our belt against the Houston Rockets. I don't want to make too many comparisons to that series against the Portland Trailblazers, but we are well aware what happened in game one. Portland was playing every game just to get to the postseason, have a chance against the Lakers, and it was game seven every night. The Houston Rockets had to go seven games, literally, against the Oklahoma City Thunder, came into this game with better rhythm, better timing, and the Lakers, like I mentioned a couple different times, looked off. Well, now you have that film, now you have that experience against the Houston Rockets, and this is just my belief. I believe that the Lakers will come back on Sunday a much different team, a much hungrier team, a team that understands that going down 2-0 against the Houston Rockets is certainly not in your best interest in a seven-game set, even though it's a neutral court. Read off a couple tweets here, and then when we come back, we'll hear from Anthony Davis. Coach John Quintero played way too soft to get AD on the block and post him up. Vogel has to be concerned about Houston making the Rockets not forcing the Lakers to pound them inside. I'll read off one more here. At Melissa Marie 15 says that was awful. They have no intensity. Hopefully that's a different story coming Sunday. If you want to be a part of the postgame show, it's 877-710-ESPN. We appreciate everybody listening on the station, on the app, or on all our social platforms. Anthony Davis coming up next. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships,
your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, there's no need to waste time at the car wash anymore. Mobile Wash brings the car wash to you in minutes with everything necessary to bring your car to a full shine. It's the only app that offers on-demand car washing services wherever you are in SoCal. Download Mobile Wash now and use promo ESPNLA to save. 112-97. Lakers lose to the Houston Rockets. No surprise at all. Laker fans not too happy about this loss to the Rockets. Trust me, I feel the same way. It's one of those games where you hope the Lakers learn from their mistakes. It's a seven-game set. You're playing a Houston Rockets team that, you know, I mentioned this to Michael. I thought game one was going to be the most dangerous of all the games. All I meant by that was Rockets kind of keep flowing. Lakers played one game in the last 10 days. And walked into this game, and I really thought just had no control the entire way. So we've seen this a couple times where you got one team that's dictating everything, you got one team that jumps out to the lead, and you got another team trying to catch up the entire time. That was the Lakers for the most part. Ian in Redondo. Ian, thanks for calling in, bud. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
So I got a few problems. So I want you to answer these questions
okay.
for me. One, I wasn't too mad about the defensive effort. There was some breakdowns, but I also don't understand why AD was catching the ball too far from the basket. Four free throws tonight. There was very little LeBron and AD in the pick and roll. I thought Rondo played way too much. Five turnovers, not much on offense. And I just didn't understand why we were casting threes on the first pass on when we're going down instead of running the offense.
Well, Ian, first of all, thank you for calling in. So I appreciate you being a part of the show. Let me start off with Anthony Davis here real quick. This is not a game that we're going to look at AD and we're going to look at the stat line and say, you know, this game is to remember. You know what's crazy about that is AD, if you look at his stat, 25 points, 14 rebounds. Not bad. Three steals, three block shots. Pretty damn good. But I think you mentioned something there that I didn't even really look at while I was reading some of the stats earlier in the show. Nine free throws between LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Nine free throws between those two players. James Harden had 12 on his own, which is, I think, really his... I want to say Ireland mentioned that. That's his average. Every time Anthony Davis caught the ball 15, 16 feet out, and a guy like PJ Tucker guarding him... You know, people talk about how small the Rockets are. Tucker plays big, so I don't care if you think he's small. His frame is so wide, it's not like AD can just push him around. And anytime he took a 15-footer, a 17-footer, I mentioned this early in the show, I feel like if you're the Rockets, you're like, okay, we'll live with that. That's fine. I mean, it's kind of the shot clock runs down. There isn't that much flow from an offensive perspective. Nobody's moving. The Lakers are just standing around. So to answer your question, yeah, it wasn't ideal. LeBron didn't score in the fourth quarter. Of course, that's not ideal as well. Lakers got some work to do. Hopefully a good wake-up call for the Los Angeles Lakers. Justin in L.A., go ahead, bud. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Justin, you there, bud? All right, let's try Joe in the Inland Empire. Joe, you're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, what's up, Alan?
What's going on, man?
Man, I can't even lie. I am disappointed, but let me tell you something. This has been something that has been bothering me, even going back to last round.
Okay.
Vogel has been doing a good job this whole year. Until Deion Waiters, when we picked him up and he was in the beginning of the bubble, he was looking very good to me.
Kind of creates for himself, gets buckets, yep.
Oh, my God. And then right in the first round, Vogel stopped playing them, and he started playing J.R. Smith. And I was like, what is this about? And now I think we need to probably think about benching Danny Green. He is terrible, bro. I am sick of Danny Green. Like, we are not holding him accountable. Like, we hold KCP at a higher standard than him, and he gets paid twice as much. We never hold Danny Green accountable. We never, ever say Danny Green needs to do more. He is terrible on defense. He never hits open shots. I think Deion Waiters would be a better attacker off the dribble. He was doing good. I don't know what happened. Like,
well, let's see if, and I appreciate you calling in. I just want to get to Anthony Davis here. Let's see if Coach uses Deion Waiters a little bit more. Danny Green, by the way, 4-12 from the field, 10 points. KCP was 2-8. Nobody's hitting shots. Rondo is 3-9. Kuzma's 3. I haven't even mentioned Kuz in the postgame show yet. Here's Anthony Davis on the Lakers lost. You're listening to the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
Hey, Anthony, it's Mike back in Los Angeles. LeBron just talked about some of the turnovers and stagnation, especially in that fourth quarter. Wondered what you saw from how Houston was playing you specifically, and how you think a better winner, how you think you can best attack the way that they're trying to switch and the way they're playing you.
They're trying to switch everything. They stay home in the post. You know, I made some shots from there, but we just gotta, you know, LeBron said, limit our turnovers. We only hit 15, which should have been, you know, 5 or 6, but it seemed like they scored on every turnover that we had. I mean, they had 27 points off turnover, you know, which kills us. So, we can't turn the ball over against this team. That was kind of the big key. We had some breakdowns defensively, but and we kind of stopped running too. You know, they'll make a shot, and you know, we weren't getting the ball out as quickly as we used to, and wasn't pushing the pace. So we got to get back to that game too.
Yeah, Anthony, Houston's basically played the same 8 guys, you know, since they got to the bubble. Like, you're trying to work Rondo back in now, but what do you think he is to try and get that continuity quickly, so you guys are all on that same train?
He's a great player and a great cerebral player, so he knows the game very well. So I don't think it's gonna take that much time to get him back acclimated with the team. He made some shots today, made some good plays for us. It's more so, I think, his win. Shea was fine today, but playing in the game and getting that game, conditioning is tough. And then when you have a play and then your first game is in a Western semi, so just getting him back, you know, acclimated with the team, and then just trying to play from there, make some adjustments, and get ready for game 2.
Hey, Anthony, it's Dave. LeBron said perhaps the thing that struck him the most about Houston was just their speed, and I wanted to know what was that was like for you to kind of observe and catch up to speed with them, and do you think the layoff affected the way that impacted you guys?
They're a good hit-ahead team. You know, they get it off the glass and then try to kick ahead for early threes, which I think we did a good job of. But anytime, you know, especially with Russ, gets the ball off a rebound, he's pushing and trying to get a layup. So, you know, it's about getting back and loading to him and making sure that, you know, he doesn't get to the basket and get easy layups or fouls. Same with James. You know, I think they got to the foul line, especially James early. 11 free throws in the first half and kind of got his rhythm, you know, which created a lot of, you know, step back threes and things for him like that. So keeping him off the free throw line, but getting back in transition and loading up to those guys and making them make different plays than what they're used to.
More to come on. All right, that's Anthony Davis right there, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet. In a weird way, you want to see how the Lakers respond to this predicament, how the Lakers respond to this position, the situation that they're in. Sometimes I think you find out a lot about a team, that you find out a lot about, your specific team when you're down in a series, or if the expectations, we were doing our predictions in pregame show. How many games do you think this will go against the Rockets? I said Lakers in 5. You got to win 4 games in a row now if that's going to happen. I'm curious to see how the Lakers respond coming up on Sunday. I think this will tell a lot about this Lakers team, how they try to take back control of this series. So we'll get that opportunity to see that. We've had a lot of conversation so far, and I know I've had a few callers chime in. We got just all our social platforms reading all the chats on their Twitter. A lot of the conversation was about Danny Green. So let's hear from Danny Green when we come back. Let's kind of get his thoughts, what he saw in tonight's game on the Lakers' loss to the Rockets. Plus, we'll take a quick look of some of the other scores around the NBA. A couple more series obviously going on tomorrow, a couple more games going on tomorrow, and then we'll look ahead to Game 2. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. All right, AD had 25 points. LeBron had 20. Danny Green had 10 points, 4-12 from the field, 2-7 from the three-point line. We're going to go to Danny Green in just a second, get his thoughts on the Lakers' 112-97 loss to the Rockets. Before we do so, Kyle Kuzma had 8 points, shot 3 of 9 from the field. Rondo was 3 of 9 from the field as well, had 8 points and 4 assists. Caruso, 14 points in 16 minutes. We already heard some of the conversation about some of these Laker fans wanting to see more minutes go to Alex Caruso. These role players, you know, this is always the case when it comes to the postseason, and we all know this because we know what these role players have done for the Lakers in the past when they have won championships. And I could go down the list, you know, whether it's Derek Fisher, Rick Fox, Robert Horry, the Kurt Rambises, the Michael Thompsons, the AC Greens. I go down the list of all these players. They got to come through, and they're going to need better contributions from the stars. Could have done better tonight, and so could the role players. But let's hear from Danny Green, who played 28 minutes for the Lakers. I mentioned 2-7 from the three-point line, had 10 points. Here's Danny Green on the Lakers' loss, his performance, and what the Lakers got to do in Game 2.
Danny, thanks for taking the time. Of course, you've been through plenty of playoff games and series to know that this is just Game 1, but as Houston seemed to control this one pretty much from that second quarter on, how would you kind of break down both ends of the floor for you guys as a team?
First and foremost, I'd like to revert back to what's more important, what's going on outside the bubble, making sure we get justice for those families out there. I'm not forgetting Breonna Taylor, Jacob Blake, George Floyd, obviously the list goes on. But about the game tonight, though we cut out, came out pretty decent. Being a week off, there's no excuses. You got to be more locked in, more focused, and stick to the game plan. So they controlled the tempo from the second quarter on. We made too many mistakes in the defense, made coverages. We made too many turnovers. You can't turn the ball over against a team like that. We're going to get out and run it. That's what they can play. So, and we got to keep out. But James gets up to the line. So talented, a lot of guys get up to the line. We have to get up to that talent and playing better with the coverage and not turn the ball over.
You talked about, of course, those turnovers. Houston is priding themselves a lot on that end of the floor to not make excuses. Was it their defense tonight? Was it you guys just having that time off, trying to find that momentum, that rhythm? The spacing just didn't seem to be there all night long. What do you kind of credit that to?
I can't take anything away from them. They played great. They stuck to their game plan to play the way it's supposed to. They had a good defensive game plan, and we kind of played that into it. So we got to do a better job of sticking to ours. Said not turn the ball over and not falling right into their hands, not playing to the game that they want us to play. So we'll go back to the drawing board and figure out what we need to change, what we need to do better film-wise, so we can keep our pace and get shots on goal. As long as we get shots on goal, whether it's miss or make or not, it's better for us to turn the ball over.
Thanks, Danny.
Okay. Tanya?
Reputations can still be after they start being true. What people have seen about Houston is that they don't play defense. Is this kind of defensive ability that you guys expected from them?
Definitely. Yeah, they're active. That's what they do. They're physical. They get deflections. They use their hands. We always got to be smarter with how we move the ball. But at the same time, we can't allow them to do what they want to do offensively. And they kind of got to their spots. They did what they want to do. And they crashed the boards. A team like that, with small ball, they shouldn't out-rebound us or get that many offensive rebounds they did. We got to do a better job on the glass, boxing them out, and limiting them to one shot. They have too many attempts, too many opportunities. They get multiple chances on goal. So we got to do a better job all around.
If you guys are done there, I'll have one or two more here.
Let's take Kyle Goon, and then we can go ahead and send it back to you for the last couple. Will.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Danny, I guess first, Alex was saying that you guys sort of have one foot in Houston, one foot in OKC. You didn't know your opponent until the other day. And I was wondering if that affected things. And two, just I mean, you played James a lot over the years, but defending him, what's the biggest shift you have to make and adjust for from scouting him to actually playing him?
It was easier said than done, scouting him than actually playing him, but I thought individually did a decent job, but collectively, said the coverages, you know, we guarded individually, stuck to the game plan and made him do something different than we wanted to do. We started rotating him, he started getting to the basket, when they started setting screens for him, especially in the backcourt, that's what kind of got, icky for us. So we had to take a look at it, do a better job of it. And I forget what your first question was.
Did it make it more difficult that you didn't know we were going to play until
you went to? There's no excuse. We've been sitting for a while. We got a chance. We know both teams. We played both of them throughout the year. Prepared for both of them. And we went over a lot of stuff for the last couple of days for both teams. So we have more than enough time to prepare. We just got to come out and stay focused. We had a good focus at that first quarter. First half decently, but we let the game get away from us, especially in the second half.
All right, Danny, I have one more for you on my end.
Danny, I was just wondering, how would you assess how Rondo played, considering he hasn't played in a game since March the 10th?
I mean, he was good for us, man. Another floor general. I was just looking at his leg back under him, his wind, and just his rhythm, chemistry. He's one of those type of guys that, he'll make a risky pass against a team like this. You can't do that, but he came in and shot confidently, shot well for us. And we're going to need him to continue to do that. He'll continue to be a floor general and stay positive. So I thought he did very well, especially for his first game back. He hasn't played in 6 months. He's been in and out. He's been hurt. So he hasn't played a game in 6 months. So I think he did very well considering circumstances.
All right, that's Danny Green, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet. It's always good to get a veteran's perspective. I thought the main thing that he mentioned there was no excuses. He thought the team came out and played pretty decent in the first quarter, but after the first quarter, Lakers were down 1 at the end of the first quarter. At halftime, they were down 8. Then they were down 6 by the end of the third quarter, and the fourth quarter, Lakers just, frankly, they fell apart. 27-18, they were outscored by 9, and that's probably, it doesn't tell the full story. Lakers lose 112-97. I do want to jump around real quick and talk about a few of these other games. It just gives some scores. There was a game a little bit earlier today. It was the Milwaukee Bucks and the Miami Heat. So only four games left now. In the West, two in the East. So Bucks and the Heat. It's now 3-0. The Miami Heat, the best record in the Eastern Conference. The Milwaukee Bucks are down 3-0. And this is a Miami Heat team that absolutely dominated against Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks in the fourth quarter, 40-13. So 115-100, the final score there. That gives you an idea of what's going on with the number one team in the Eastern Conference. Tomorrow, you'll have two games that are going on, the Raptors and the Celtics. Celtics up 2-1, and then Nuggets and the Clippers will be a little bit later. That game's at 6 o'clock. Clippers up 1-0 in that one. Okay, so for the Los Angeles Lakers, you got a chance to regroup, get back on track. On Sunday, you got another game against the Houston Rockets. I don't know about you guys, but I'm very, very curious to see how the Lakers come back and play against a Houston Rockets team after taking that first game in a loss. I think a lot of Laker fans right now, there's some surprise, maybe a little bit of shock that you're down 1-0, but you've been in this position before. You were down 1-0 against the Portland Trail Blazers, and I'm sure there's going to be this Lakers team will have no excuses. They'll come out ready to play on Sunday, and hopefully they could tie back this series. That game, by the way, is a 5:30 tip-off. 3:30 right here on 710 ESPN will be the pregame show. We thank everybody for tuning in. This has been the Pizza at Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.